You're listening to Offshoot Radio. Welcome to Offshoot Radio.
And that thing that Sonny did with the ping pong balls? Yeah! Bob Complies.
It sounds kind of naughty, but I've got big beefy stiffness at its finest.
You're listening to Offshoot Radio.
So should we see a Zach in the Box t-shirt coming up from Pro Wrestling Tees?
Oh.
Hello, Marks and Smarks alike. Welcome to Offshoot Radio. I am the broken one, Billy Johnson, and I'm joined by the chosen jock, Michael Ryan.
Greetings, amigos. How are we all?
And, of course, he's made his way out of the compound again, and he's back here. He's our favourite gripey podcaster, none other than Brother Belmont.
I've returned from the compound. Now it's safe. Yes. After all that UK championship rubbish WWE were doing. AKA Triple H's raid of our independent scene. And there's actually been proven, I was proven right again, after what I've been doing with Pete Dunne and several others.
What, because they got pulled from a WWE?
They're getting pulled from events. They're not allowed to be on any televised matches now.
Did you see that... They've done the tapings for NXT and they're both... I think there's
Trent Seven, I really don't care about NXT.
Matt Mandrews, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne in it. All four of them are over. They've done the tapings. I think it was the other night there, was it not?
Yes, that is true. I've read this online.
I read the spoilers, but I'm not going to say what it was, obviously.
But they've only been pulled from, like, Flow Slam events, which is direct competition to WWE.
How is it direct competition? That's not saying TNA's direct competition.
It's direct competition to the network they're looking at as, do you know what I mean? Because it's not as Flow Slam's like a networking type of thing. It's got various companies on it, like four or five different shows. They see it as a kind of competitor, do you know what I mean?
They're trying to kill that one.
Well, they're just trying to kill that off and not letting guys work on the Flow Slam shows, basically, or letting them work dark matches.
They got pulled from a couple of other independents. I can't remember the actual name of the company.
Yes, they got pulled from the WXW one that I went to in London, and they got pulled from the podcast earlier in the day because they were being flown into for the Rumble.
They didn't get pulled for them just for the sake of pulling them from. They get pulled because they had to be somewhere or they were going to Orlando, do you know what I mean, man? So it's kind of different. We'll see how it pans out, like, if they do the UK Championship kind of tour, can it see if they do that? It'll be interesting to see then, are they allowed to do a taping one weekend for that and then maybe go to Progress the next weekend? Are they going to allow that? We don't know. We just need to bide our time and wait and see what happens with that.
Well, they did work, like, the Progress show on the Sunday. They just weren't allowed to do the WXW one on the Saturday.
What I'm saying is, once if this UK Championship tournament thing, another tournament, the title tour gets up and running, if it's going to be a kind of weekly thing, or like once a month,
when did they say they were going to tour that title around?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. We'll be interested to see when that kicks off.
That's going to get defended like three times, and it'll get thrown in the bin.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Did we know here rumours of it?
Anyone who's listening, they must know by now I'm a huge WWE fan, of course.
Of course you are, James.
Yeah, I just wish they would go under.
Especially Triple H. Triple H is a legend, isn't he, James?
He's the greatest of all time, goddammit.
Definitely top five, man.
Definitely.
Top five at what? Sleeping your way to the top? Christ.
What was I going to say there anyway? Rumours that they were going to defend Tyler Bate was maybe going to defend at a couple of indie shows. The UK title.
They've been saying that, like, they're going to try and pick up ICW and put it on the network, and then Bate will defend it on ICW. But they've also sort of like looked into doing 30 shows in this country this year with the UK talent. And they said they wouldn't clash with Progress or ICW, but it might be technically impossible to do that.
To do exactly.
Is ICW going to the network then?
It's not official. It's not official.
It's not official, okay.
No.
Because if it does, you know ICW is screwed, right?
Don't know, we'll see.
It is, because what's ICW known for? Violent, violence, strong language.
Well, this is what
drunk fans.
See, the last show we spoke about this, and what I said was, like, there's a parental control on the network, right, kind of thing. Some kids might not have it switched on. So if ICW comes on and fucking Lionheart's calling people wankers, is that wee boy going to run to his mum and dad and go, oh, get the parental? Do you know what I mean? That's WWE need to really be careful with that. So I don't really know what the situation is going to be. I don't know.
They could put a feature on the network where your parental control like kicks in on ICW. ECW.
We'll have a TV 14 coming up or something like that on the screen as well. Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Well, on the Roku app, you have the advantage to turn it on and off, the parental control, and it's already on when you first like fire it all up and everything.
As
I'm an older gentleman, I immediately turn the parental control because I don't the need permission gentleman. From mum and dad. Unlike James, who needs permission from his mum and dad. No joke coming back there, James?
No, I'll just let that one hang out.
Oh, okay, alright.
Poking the bear.
27.
As poking the bear every time.
Feeding the bear.
I'm such a bugger. So, shall we get on to talking about NXT?
If we must,
yes. Well, it was quite the talk of the wrestling town this weekend just gone, James. So, yeah, NXT San Antonio, the TakeOver special. Mick, what did you think of this show?
Without it being great, I thought it was just kind of solid all the way through. It was kind of solid matches. There wasn't any like wow kind of moments, wow matches, but everyone, you were like, yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was good. But there wasn't any like big marking out matches or anything like that. So overall, yeah, a solid show.
Well, they do one good show a month, don't they?
Well, every 2 months. Come on, let's get it right.
Every 2 months. Okay, fair enough. Point taken.
Well, it was a solid show, but it was like average at best. But then we've come to expect so much from the takeovers that when they don't really deliver, it's...
Did you not feel too card-wise, this was one of the weaker ones going in as well? Do you know what I mean? So,
well, sure. It's like basically Nakamura was taking on an entrance fee.
Right. Did you notice there was only something like 3 competitors in the whole card that were American? There you go. And I'm not taking the credit for that, by the way. That was Darren that told me.
Well, yeah, you got Eric Young. He's
Canadian, so is Ty Dillinger. Almas is.
Yep.
I don't know. Who's he from? Mexico. Where's Roddy Strong from? See?
He's from America.
He's from America. The DIY is from America. I don't think Arthur's a paid.
Who's Australian? A Scottish lady.
You'd Asuka, Nikki Cross, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura. None of them American. That was weird. I didn't notice when I was watching until Darren told me after. I was like, oh, good point, man.
No, I can't say I really picked up on it, but it's, you know, such a diverse roster that NXT have got.
It's international.
It's more of an international feel, but then that show is exclusive to the network, and the network is going out all over the world, so they might as well try to make it a different sort of roster feel. You don't just have to have Americans on there, do you?
Nah, that's it. What did you think of, see, the CN or Almas or whatever his name is, him versus Roddy Strong? It was actually a really, really good match, but the crowd, come on, do you know what I mean? There was about 5 people cheering, weren't there?
Well, yeah, I've called Sion almost over. That's my new nickname for him, because he's just not over at all. He's not exactly how can we say this? He's not exactly over, is he at all? But then why they just couldn't let him be La Sombra when that gimmick like sort of drawed and was over and it's recognisable? He hasn't really, his gimmick hasn't been defined at all in NXT, has it?
Yeah. As for Roddy, well, he'll killed it kind of thing, and his moves, his finishes and moves were always great, that man. But I was just like, come on to the crowd. Don't get James started. This, by the way, Roddy getting a whimper of a whimper of a reaction.
They're the stupidest fan base in wrestling, so I'm not even going to get annoyed. all they're interested in is chanting and hijacking the show, so I'm not bothered. Screw them.
I don't know.
They wouldn't know a good wrestling match if you can't punch them in the face.
Well, it was a good wrestling match. It was like in the ring.
Yeah, that's why they weren't cheering. They didn't know what they were seeing.
No, it's just because both guys have not been booked very strong. You know, look at Roddy, he's not been booked very strong, and Sion is just not over at all, and they're not going to get a reaction, are they?
I think there's still hope for Roddy. I think he can get a little push, and he's going to get in there. I mean, it wasn't exactly silent. There was a few Roddy chants, not that. But for the type of match it was and the standard of match, I was like, come on, fucking get on your feet or something at least, man.
Well, they seem to be like more into the Ty Dillinger and Eric Young match, which opened it.
Oh, but James has got a point there. That's because they can go 10, 10, 10 all the way through the fucking match.
Yeah, see?
Got to get themselves over.
Because Ty Dillinger's one of these people like fucking... What's his name? The Miz's stunt double. What's his name again?
Aaron Rex. Sandow, sorry. Yeah.
Sandow. He's like him. Like the crowd want to get behind him, but he's not actually that fucking good. Do you know what I mean?
They just
use him as someone to get behind him. Mona, why is he not getting a chance? Why is he not getting a chance? Get him up to the fucking... He must be number 10 in a Rumble. Do you know what I mean? But he's a jobber. He's been a jobber for about 15 months now. He's always on in the first match or whatever, and he's putting people over every week. He's all right. There's nothing special about him, just because he's got a great chant.
Yeah, take the chant away, will he get a reaction?
Yeah, exactly.
No. They wouldn't care.
It's like WWE's backward logic, isn't it? They're like, this guy, he's been such a loser, but now we're going to promote him to the main roster. It's like, that doesn't really make any sense, WWE.
He's going to be another Tyler Breeze, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just going to end up doing nothing. And it's a shame because he's a pretty decent talent. It's just... hasn't got the right gimmick. It's all right for 6 months to a year, but after that, there is really nowhere else to go with it apart from the 10-10-10 bollocks.
Yep. I will crack up if I read somewhere on Twitter within the next couple of months that he's won the IC. I will crease up.
Well, probably, because again, it's WWE's backward logic of they've got to put a title on Jobber because this guy's been losing in NXT, but now he's being promoted to the main roster. It should really be he continues to lose on the main roster if he's losing on NXT, but then they like to give you a shock win by having him beat someone that's like incredibly over, like The Miz or something.
Is he officially up, but that's not heard.
I don't know, to be fair, Mick. He wasn't on Raw this week, so...
When I was watching the Rumble, I was thinking they did that. They put him in at number 10 because they know if it wasn't him, whoever come out would get shat on. Absolutely shat on. Do you know what I mean?
Well, number 30 got shat on.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Number 10, if they didn't like put Ty Dillinger out, it was, like you said, Mick, it was going to be a big fucking issue. The authors of pain are now the NXT Tag Team Champions. Johnny Gargano putting a lovely shift here, didn't he, really? Working as the underdog coming back. I thought he did a tremendous job here. Really carried the authors, who are still incredibly green. But you could make the argument that the wrong team went over, but I think it's a good idea to have the pain go over because then Ciampa and Gargano are better chasers than they are champions, in my opinion.
Bingo, got it right. Definitely. They're underdog kind of material where, like you said, they're chasing, getting their fingertips on something, but not quite reaching. Have them like that for a while before the split. But the Authors of Pain, like, I've not been the biggest fan ever before they came into this, but they fucking done a hell of a job of making them look good, I'll tell you that, because I was like, that's a not bad tag team there after that match, and that was just credit to Gargano and Ciampa for making them look fucking fantastic.
It's when authors have to work a team like, I don't know, two of those sanity guys, that it might be a bit of an issue.
Then it's going to be a bit of a car crash, isn't it? But well, I quite enjoyed it. There was a bit of a story to the match and all that, and it was good without being great again. But I'm like you, I was watching carefully and looking at the job at Ciampa and Gargano was doing, putting them over, and I thought it was really, really clever the way they did it, and it shows how skillful they are to make them look that good. Do you know what I mean?
No, I've got to agree with you. Spot on there, Mick. James, I'm sure you're not going to really add anything to this if you haven't seen the show.
I'm falling asleep, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll love this one, then. What happened next? Seth Rollins the barricade and called out your good buddy old pal Triple H.
Oh, they finally remembered that there was a feud going on, 6 months later?
If you were watching Raw still, James, you would have realised that, yes, they have basically been ignoring it for months and months and months, and then they sort of brought it up, and then they've done this angle. It was a good setup, but the promo was... it was all right. The promo was all right. It was just like the security putting away. Rollins didn't put up much of a fight, did he, Mick?
No, not really. I wanted it sort of to go backstage a wee bit and maybe... I don't know, one of the heel tag teams to actually give him a going over backstage with Triple H watching on, do you know what I mean?
Maybe even the
Revival or something like that, knocking the hell out of them just to get more heat on them, do you know what I mean?
Really, like Rollins, who's been scorned and is incredibly upset by all of this, he should have not given up to security. He was dragged out far too easily, in my opinion. Like you said, he should have been taken out backstage by the Revival or...
Because I thought you were going to see a clip later on him try to fight more fights backstage, him causing a riot and all that.
Wouldn't have been better for him to attack security, lay them all out, and drill the last one with a pedigree to make a point and then leave.
Even something like that. Clever.
But Rollins, when I was watching it, he's not that great of a promo guy anyway.
Yeah, he's just average. I made this point about Rollins before about. I think I spoke to you guys about it before as well. See, when he turned from face, heel to face, his promo style, his delivery, his look.
Same.
And his ring style, nothing changed.
No, he's exactly the same dude.
Nothing changed. You take Jericho, for instance, when he's the Ayatollah of rock and roller and all this, and then he goes to the best in the world at what I do and the way they look. Do you know what I mean? He completely changed. He flips it. Do you know what I mean? That's how to do it properly. Rollins never changed. What he was saying was different, but how he was delivering it and how he wrestled in the ring didn't change at all. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that always comes down to creative. They've got to give him the direction in which to go in, and they haven't done that.
Kind of, but surely he should take some responsibility himself to get the mic and try it a bit slower, try it a different style kind of thing, or... especially when he was heel. Do you know what I mean? He's probably doing the right kind of promos now. He wasn't doing it right when he was heel, in my opinion.
Yeah, you got to sort of think of it from the point of view. A lot of guys in WWE don't divert from the script because they get heat backstage and then they get de-pushed and they end up making pittance because of it. And that's the whole setup in WWE. And that's what really pisses me off about WWE is the politics.
Rollins should have just thought, screw it, I'm going to do it anyway. Because what are they going to do to him? He was their top guy. Yeah, but they can't bury him. He's top guy.
What I don't get is...
They can build him.
No, but people... No,
it's too integral.
Bill, people at him and people at your Reigns and all that, they're selling merch. They're shifting merch. Vince isn't going to freaking bury him the way he did to Triple H after the curtain call, hanging out like that to one of them when they're shifting merch. So, I mean, they're making too much money for him just now. So I agree, you should just fucking take a chance, grow a set of balls and fucking have a risk. Do you know what I mean?
Did Punk ever go to script? No.
Sorry?
Punk never read the script. Roddy Piper never read the script.
That was completely
Austin
different era.
Never read the script.
But CM Punk basically towed the company line because he went to them and said, "Look, this is the direction that I want to go in. I want to do these semi-shoot fucking worked promos."
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Why couldn't Rollins have done that as well?
Because he might not have a relationship with Vince. And like I said, a majority of people that are the boys in the back are afraid.
They're nervous around them. And they're one-on-ones. They're not getting into Vince's office a lot to have talks. They're talking to like Vince's people roundabout, do you know what I mean? Kind of thing. That's the people they're having relations with. So, it's a bit of fear.
The problem with today's wrestlers is they got no balls, and people like Roddy Piper and CM Punk actually had a big set and would go directly to Vince and voice their opinions.
Some people would be kicking his fucking door there to tell them their opinions. I bet your big Taker's kicked his door down a few times, John.
I'm sure he has. It's like Nails went and choked him out over a bad payoff. It's like no wrestler would do that today because they haven't got the balls to do it. Because there is nowhere else for them to go to make as much money as they can in the WWE.
There isn't, but you can make it without WWE. It's been proven numerous times over. But people are just too scared.
But you need to be at the top of the game. The Young Bucks are making money, but they're fucking a great team. Average guy can't even make the same kind of money.
Most of the Bullet Club are making it. No problem at all. Cole, the Young Bucks, Omega, they're fine. Cody, they're doing fine at WWE.
Yeah, but James, they're still not making like fucking WrestleMania payoff, which is seven figures. Pulling down 30 grand a year.
I'm not saying that they're financially better off. I'm saying that they're getting by.
Well, exactly, but that's what a lot of wrestlers get in this because it's a business and they want to make as much money as possible so they can get out as early as possible and happily retire with enough in the bank.
And you can still walk.
Exactly. Thank you, Mick. Anyway, so we shall move on. Asuka ended up beating Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, and Nikki Cross. Average again.
He sounds very enthusiastic.
Oh, mate, it was like this all the way through.
Was it this bad?
No, it was just that. It was like Billy said, it was just good.
Bang
average. I found it good to solid kind of thing. Well, that women's match, it put me off the screaming for Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. I was like, shut the fuck up all the way through it. Do you know what I mean? But Nikki Cross looked really good in it, so I'm happy about that. And I'm happy they put her through the announce table and then took her out of the match, which she wasn't involved getting pinned in it, and so it still kept her kind of looking strong, if you know what I mean, man. So I'm hoping that her and Ember Moon can get involved with a feud. It should go down that way, because Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, isn't he just as bad? Billy Kay can't wrestle. I think she's shite. But they're both hot, so fuck it. Peyton Royce has got a cracking ass, so let her off.
But the story of the match was pretty simple. It was like Royce and Kay were going to double team the other two, and what we really wanted was the Nikki Cross like showdown with Asuka, because those two could actually like really go out there and work and have a really good match. But obviously,
we deliberately didn't get that, but because it's coming. Wait, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's coming. Nikki Cross will get that push against Amber Moon when Amber probably wins the title at WrestleMania. So up last, an entrance theme ended up winning the NXT title.
Oh, come on, that's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Well, not
an
really.
Entrance theme wins the title.
You could give that entrance theme to anybody and they would be as over as Bobby Roode is.
Yeah, but he's got the work to go with the thing.
Bobby Hemsley.
he's more talented than Triple H. And he can actually cut a promo.
He can cut a promo, but he's the best worker.
He's decent.
He's just solid.
He's decent. It's just not like anything. You're not ever going to get like a six-star match.
But you've got to give him a pat on the back and go like, hell of a job of getting yourself over, pal.
Well, yeah, the entrance theme got him over, but like I'm saying, they could have given that entrance theme to anyone and they could be as over as Bobby is now.
No, him and Gargano and Ciampa has worked hard behind the scenes, you know, do you know what I mean? Getting it over
those
and over
clips,
and over.
Wasn't it? The glorious bombs.
That's what got him over. Man? They've obviously put some thought in it and go, right, let's go somewhere with this, do you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying, like, that entrance theme could get anyone over. That's the point.
I'll say one thing, but that was two entrances in a row there. It was like 5 minutes of goosebumps for me, man. I loved it. Do you know what I mean? Both guys' entrances. Like I said to you, I don't know if I DM'd you as that, saying I had 2-inch nipples for about 5 minutes because of my goosebumps.
No, you didn't DM.
No, you didn't, luckily.
Thankfully, you didn't DM me there. But, you know, like, 15 minutes of the match was painfully average, and then, like, the closing stages were just really, really good in this match, and the selling of the knee from Shinsuke Nakamura was, like, world-class in the closing stages. I could have like, really buried this match if I wanted to, but it was...
Sounds like you're trying to.
I'm not burying it, James, because I'm starting to put it over now. I'm trying to say, like, the closing...
You're trying to save it. You're trying to save face now.
It was basically, like, 10 minutes of meh average, and then 10 minutes of that's fucking brilliant storytelling, selling.
It was, yeah.
It was like a story of two halves. Do you know what I mean, man? It turned. I was like, going, oh no, this is not really happening here. And then at the end of it, I was like, I fucking loved that. Do you know what I mean?
It's quite surprising because it's Nakamura. Because
Matt Bloom come down. The trainer come down. They're all trying to talk Nakamura. You need to stop. You need to give up. Do you know what I mean? No, you can't carry on. And he's like, no, doesn't want to give up. No, that kind of thing. So it was really, really cleverly done because it protected Nakamura because he kind of let Bobby Roode win, but without it being like no clean, you know what I mean? It wasn't an even win, do you know what I mean? Because it was hot, so it worked perfectly.
Yeah, like I said, the closing stages were very, very good, and I wasn't trying to bury it or anything, James. I was just saying the first 10 minutes.
I can hear the shovel clinking in the background.
Okay, right. Shall we move on to the Rumble then?
Yeah, we'll move. I was just going to say, I'm really surprised you guys saying that about a Shinsuke Nakamura match, because he was killing it in Japan, even when he's not in his game.
Well,
he's still pulling out good matches.
In my opinion, since he's come over, he's bored. He can't be fucked with NXT, and it's pure shining out on him. He just doesn't want to be there.
I've been saying it for months now. He's not motivated. He's not motivated to be there.
He's looking at folk at the other side of the ring going like, I can't be fucked with us. You know what I mean?
It's like, dang, if you watched New Japan when Nakamura was there, you would have seen, like, in the small, like, fucking house shows, Nakamura was never motivated. He would do the bare minimum. When it came to the big matches, that's when he'd really fucking go for it.
He should have done it here,
shouldn't he?
So, at the end of the day, Nakamura's like, don't really give a fuck, and he's just waiting for the big call-up. And is it ever going to come? I don't know if it will, to be perfectly honest.
Well, where do you think he's going to go? Is he going to go to SmackDown or Raw, though?
I would put him on SmackDown.
Be interesting to see. AJ versus Nakamura. Won't be as good in WWE.
I'm just totally worried because how important promo segments and all that can are, and the main roster, so I mean, it's like 50% of the fucking show most of the time, and I don't know how it's going to work at all.
There's another reason why I don't think that Nakamura will get called up anytime soon, because NXT is on the network, and the network is obviously available in Japan, but Raw and SmackDown do not air in Japan, so so they're never, are they going to move Nakamura?
How come before the network then that WWE could go tours over there and still sell out and all that then?
Because they used to have like a working relationship with a bunch of different wrestlers, and they would go over there and they would co-promote the shows. Raw did air in Japan for a little while, but then it never did like as strong viewership as Noah or All Japan or any like New Japan, DDT, you name it. It never did as strong, because it's a Western product. It's not a Puro product, is it?
Well, it's not a wrestling product, so I'm thinking, what on earth are we watching?
Well, it's an they're not wrestling, James. They're sports entertainment.
Sports entertainment, or... yeah, I know.
Are they entertainment now? I think they've even dropped the sports bit from it.
They're just entertainers.
Yous are so harsh. 2 years, harsh.
Oh, I wouldn't say I'm harsh.
No, I'm just real.
There's good things and bad things from WWE.
Well, did you enjoy the Royal Rumble? Did you think it was a good show?
I did enjoy the Royal Rumble, to be honest. I went in, my expectations were incredibly low, and I thought, this isn't going to be anything special. But then, for solid undercard matches later, and I was enjoying it. I didn't think the Rumble was much cop, but it wasn't the worst.
Apart from 1992, you name me a Rumble that's been a classic.
I would say the 97 one wasn't bad. Weren't like regular WWE guys. I think the story with Bret Hart and Stone Cold at the end played out very, very well. I would say that the 99 Rumble with Vince McMahon and Stone Cold, again, that was all right.
Storyline towards the end, but the actual Rumble matches themselves, you don't get a lot of good ones.
Like the 2002 Rumble was very, very good, and I would also say the 2001 Rumble was very, very good.
But the
2007 with The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, like the closing stages of that, and the entire Rumble match was paced quite well.
Let me turn it around another way. How can you say that a Royal Rumble with an umbrella in it is boring?
Well, that was a small highlight of the Rumble match.
What the hell are you on about?
Jack Gallagher took his umbrella into the ring and he was like jumping off like Mary Poppins things and all that with his umbrella.
Oh my god.
And he put it through Jericho's legs and he was twirling it.
That was a small
but it worked. Billy, did it work? It worked, didn't it? It actually came off.
Yeah, it raised my I thought that was quite funny, to be perfectly honest, but I've got to think, like, the first section of the Rumble with Braun Strowman was pretty boring.
I'm with you there. Until, like, the big players came in, it was kind of average, but it did pick up. So you, like, once you got to, what, number 25 or something like that?
It's a bit late in the Rumble, isn't it, for it to pick up?
Oh, well, that was maybe a bit harsh. Number 20, do you know what I mean? But then onwards, the last 10, it was definitely all the big names started coming out, do you know what I mean? And it was, like...
Well, I would say that, no, it was 25, because 25 was Brock Lesnar, and that's when business started to pick. The only other story that they were telling through that match was Jericho was clearly going to do 60 minutes. Sami Zayn was going to be there, because he's obviously like a workhorse, and they can keep him in there. But apart from that, the business really didn't pick up until Brock came out, and then Goldberg came out, and I didn't really like the booking, what they did, where Goldberg just dumped Brock immediately. I thought they could have like done it a different way. Brock
That's building to the WrestleMania match, but which has been the challenge has been laid out. I mean, that's all building towards that. Because the story of the Raw they're doing is that every single great champion in the world has always had this one person that can maybe beat them, a weak link to themselves, and like Goldberg's that side to Lesnar. Do you know what I mean, man?
I can get that side of the story, but my point of my thinking is that maybe you should have, you know, had Brock dump Goldberg, and then they would have been even, and then like the rubber match, which will happen at WrestleMania. That was just my thinking, but they've got in a different direction. They wanted to go in the direction of, well, Goldberg's got Brock's number, and that's the story that they're going to tell. If that's what they want to tell, that's what they want to tell. Are we all happy with number 30? Because like the internet like revolted and happy with this.
I thought it was fine. It didn't bother me. I thought the booking towards the end of the Rumble, all of it, that Goldberg King didn't bother me. I thought they kind of nailed it. I mean, I was quite happy with all of it. I don't know what people are moaning at, because, well, I know they're saying, but you had a title match earlier on that, but you get screwed out of it. Do you know what I mean? So I wasn't bothered about it. Plus, he done a joint JOB to fucking Randy Orton, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Like, I can't say I've got a problem with it, but it, what these WWE have gone and essentially done is put more heat on Roman Reigns when the guy didn't need any more heat, and he's like, they're supposed to be their top babyface. It was like,
but essentially, he came out at number 30 to eliminate Undertaker, didn't he? They had him in it because obviously they're setting that up for WrestleMania, and it was a pretty cool moment. Yeah. And then when Undertaker done that setup thing, he turned very pissed off big time and looked up and Reigns is staring at him. That was money. I'm looking at that going, that's money.
But Mick, again, it's bad booking because Roman is going to get booed out of the building at WrestleMania.
Oh, he is. But
watch when Reigns beats Undertaker at WrestleMania. Watch the meltdown.
Regardless who he's up against, they're probably going like that. It doesn't matter who he's up against, he's going to get booed out the... So we might as well fucking put him up against top babyface. To me, then, they're maybe going like that, as they're going to be a slow turn here, because he's going to get shat on anyway, so he's going to be the heel anyway, do you know what I mean? So I think, man, I'm hoping we see a more badass, kind of disrespect. That's what I'm looking for, disrespectful to the Undertaker, kind of Roman Reigns leading up to this.
That's not the point I'm trying to make. Like, the point I'm trying to make is they are still trying to book him as the top babyface, and they see him as the number one guy. Now, clearly, they could turn him heel at some point. It might happen. But at WrestleMania, wouldn't it make more sense to put Roman Reigns in there with a guy that has legit heat, like, say, The Miz, for instance? Then maybe
I would put my mortgage on the crowd getting behind The Miz. The Miz is that good a heel. He's a popular heel.
What planet are you on?
He would. You try to tell me that the crowd would cheer for Roman Reigns over The Miz?
I think they would.
I think they would.
No, I think you're both wrong.
Because he's that good of a heel.
I think you're both wrong.
Yeah.
I think you're both wrong on that, honestly.
But Reigns going against Undertaker is one of the stupidest matchups I've ever heard of in my life.
Do you think?
Yeah. What's the point? Why? Why? Because he's just going to beat Undertaker at Mania, and he'll be so hated, it'll just be a complete waste of time.
But...
Unless,
they
are turning
him heel.
Exactly.
But they're not going to. How many times have we sat here for like the past year?
See,
and he's supposed to turn heel and he didn't.
If they don't turn him heel, then 100% I agree.
They won't.
100% I agree if
they won't. I'm telling you, they won't.
I don't think they're going to turn him heel. I think they think, this is going to make Roman look strong. I'm sorry, WWE, right? This is not going to make Roman strong.
This is going to make him popular.
But the only other way... where I can maybe look at it as like the Undertaker's like stick with me kid and we can make money together, do you know what I mean, that kind of site. I don't know, can Undertaker make this gold, this feud? I don't know, do you
he
mean?
Can barely freaking walk.
That's the point. Did you hear the reports that he was in absolute agony behind backstage? Yes.
Well, how old is he now? 50 what, 4?
Hip surgery, like last year, the guy is not going to be able to do a 5-star classic. It's just not going to happen.
We've gone full circle again to Billy's, one of his early points ages ago. The reliance on part time people who are old and past it.
I agree with
they
that.
Should be.
But see what I said earlier on, like, stick with me, kid, we can make money. I'm not talking about the match, I'm talking about the whole running up to it. So, I mean.
But if I created stars like 6 years ago, like I pointed out, like to James, like last year, then you wouldn't have this problem now with part-time mania and these guys all on top.
The problem with WWE is now that do you know who the biggest star in the company is? The WWE brand. WWE brand. The WWE brand. They're a brand. Right? That's all that matters. The actual WWE company itself. Nobody's going to be allowed to get anyone near as big as that now. They're too much of a brand. It's like a big company with all these just little workers below it. It's not like the way it used to be. That's why you're not getting the big superstars anymore, apart from obviously Cena, who was already there. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they're effectively killing their own business. Obviously, WWE...
I totally agree with it.
Is the bigger draw. You see WrestleMania, a lot of people will go and buy their tickets regardless of what that card is. Still, you've got to create a star, and you've got to create stars to be able to keep drawing in 20 to 25 years from now.
I totally agree with that.
Unfortunately, I don't think they're doing that.
Like what you're saying,
no, they don't.
They used to like do huge pushes, let's launch this guy's name out into the stratosphere. make him the top guy. They don't do that now. Do you know what they do now? Let's push WWE brand. Let's push the WWE brand into the stratosphere. But like you said, if you don't create the fucking stars, you can't get that big push off the WWE brand.
Those guys, those top guys they have got, like AJ Styles, for instance, they are part of the WWE brand. So surely all they're doing is cutting their own throat by not putting them in, like, a top position. Surely.
But you look at Styles and you think, well, hold on a minute, this is, like, completely irrelevant, but their age, you know, is Styles going to be around in 5-6 years to be drawing a house? Maybe he should be putting over younger guys now.
I wouldn't say right now. I'd say maybe in 2 years from now.
Well, even then, you look at.
But I get what you mean. I get what you mean, because they should take a leaf out of New Japan's book when they got ripped open with Nakamura left, Styles left, Gallows and Anderson left. They weren't fussed. They just made new stars. Now look at what we got. The roster's still bumper. It's still full of great talent.
Okay.
They're still drawing. What's WWE doing? They're going back to 50-year-old blokes like Goldberg, who can, his knees are gone. Lesnar, who's limited and dangerous at best. You got Undertaker, who can barely walk. They tried to bring back Sting for an extended run. He ended up nearly paralysed.
Because what WWE are doing now, they don't. They are more like a company that like to create moments, if you know what I mean, man, rather than a fucking 35-minute 5-star match, even though they got a really good fucking match at the Royal Rumble. But they are kind of sort of like face-off moments and the crowd going, this is fucking awesome, crowd chants, well, this is awesome for two guys squaring up, that they're more into that now, if you know what I mean, rather than putting lots of great matches on. So I don't know, it's weird how they've gone down that road. Never, but
well, they've never pushed a serious sporty product. It's not going to be like New Japan, and it never is. Now I think it's just this conversation of like WWE at the moment. What is it? I generally don't think they know what they are at the moment. I really don't.
That's part of the reason why I stopped watching, because I want to see pro wrestling. You know, you can have your stupid little plugs in there. That's fine. You know, they've got to make money for the sponsors, whatever. But the actual product is rotten. It's been horrid for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
Where their main flagship show is 70% promos and stupid backstage segments that make people face palm so hard they can knock themselves out, and two minute throwaway matches, and terrible feuds that people wish would end, but they go on for ages.
It's because it's bad creative with the feuds. And
you look at the TV product they had, like even back in like 1988, 89 and all that. They used to have jobber after jobber after jobber.
Yeah,
and the big superstar came out and beat them in 2 minutes. You didn't get that back then either, do you know what I mean? But folk weren't complaining. Do you know what I mean?
But you could get two big superstars going out and having a really rubbish match now because of time constraints. Because, oh no, let's get Triple H in the last segment tonight because everyone wants to hear what he's got to say. Same promo since 1997. You know, it's just.
Well, to be fair, we've not really seen him out. He's not been out in the ring for about fucking.
I'm just saying as an example, because that's all it seems to be.
Well,
I
tuned back in again just before Christmas. I've watched the last few Raw and SmackDowns, and it's better than what it was in the summer. It's picked up a wee bit again. That's Raw I watched this week's Raw this morning, and it was actually a really good show. So it's getting there.
Like WWE's TV normally picks up around WrestleMania season anyway, but the problem that they've created is that they have far too much content and too many hours to fill. So that's why they end up throwing away these big matches on free-to-air TV, and we've seen, you know, recycles of so many different feuds over and over again, and then creative is terrible because they've got so much content to come up with, and that, again, that's a problem.
Sasha Banks and Charlotte is a prime example of that, Bill. How many times do you have to face each other? How many title changes do you need?
They've done something about that now, though.
What the fuck was that about?
Right, let me get another point in. Raw's in the Attitude Era drawing ratings is 6.2 or whatever, right? You tell me how many great matches were on Raw.
It's a different generation.
In that 3-year period.
That's a different generation. It was all sex and violence. People love that stuff.
You got hardly any. you got 2 minute matches and then lots of talking, a hell of a lot of talking.
Yeah, but you had and you had WCW on the other side taking the piss and trying to beat them.
They did have Matt's morning and this is pure shite night because of that. Why are they getting that now? Do you know what I mean, man?
Because everyone thinks they're clued up when they're not really. They're just like all getting worked.
And they had stars and solid. They had stars and solid divisions. You had like Stone Cold, The Rock.
That's the only difference. They had, they had superstars back then.
Strong tag team division. Even mid card feuds were drawing. You know what I mean? Now,
I don't think right now it's as bad as what you're making out.
It's shit, Mick. After WrestleMania, I guarantee it'll be rubbish again.
Because I've watched the last four or five Raws and SmackDowns, I've quite enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but that's because you're in WrestleMania season, Mick. I'm on about the rest of the year.
Okay.
I'm not talking about 8 weeks in a year. What about the other, you know, what about the other 40 plus? What's gone on the rest of this year, which makes you think, do you know what, that was really good. Kevin Owens won the title. Big whoop. His title reign has been rubbish.
Hey, it's difficult. Right. Do you watch every single New Japan show? Is there one on every week on the...
Well, I can't. I've got a life.
Billy, do you watch it? Is it enthralling TV viewing every week?
I don't watch the house shows, no, because I have no desire to watch the house shows.
See?
But I will normally watch the big shows.
Yeah. See?
It's
difficult.
Yeah, but Billy's not interested.
An impossible job to put on TV that's going to please absolutely everyone every single week.
That's not what I'm saying. Do you know the amount of times I've been up at night and probably, you know, up until like 2-3 in the morning, and the amount of same people who bitch and complain about Raw every single week, but will go back to the next week.
Oh, they complain about it again. Just stop watching it. I'd take a break. I've had three months off.
I've never been happy to stop watching it because it was complete garbage.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have? Enzo Amore running around naked one week or something?
I will always insist that I love wrestling. So I will always, if I don't enjoy WWE, I'm not going to go on Twitter and start fucking complaining about it. I know what is wrong with it. Mm-hmm. I have my issues with it, but I'm going to go and find something else that I enjoy to watch. For instance, I will go and watch New Japan. I will watch Progress. I will watch Rev Pro. I will watch Evolve. I will watch CZW. I will watch WXW.
I watched them.
I took my 3 month break there. That's exactly what I did. I went and I saw a couple of Progress shows, but I went and signed up, and then I've been watching more Rev Pro. I'm getting really into the Brit Rest scene. Do you know what I mean? So I did the same kind of thing. I was like,
it seems like there's a lot less pressure as well.
Something else. Do you know what I mean? Now I'm liking all of it, and I'm like, bingo for me. Do you know what I mean?
Since I've quit WWE, it seems like there's a lot less pressure as well. Where I can watch wrestling at a leisurely pace and not feel obliged to watch probably like 10 plus hours a week, just to be in the know.
I'll kind of watch 4 hours or something like a WWE. That's my kind of limit. I'll limit myself to that. I'll skip bits and Raw if I need to skip it, to, I mean, man, and watch it quite fast. But
yeah, because what you got 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, one of NXT. That's 6 hours.
205
Live, which is what 7? Seven hours a week.
Then if we get a pay per view every 2 weeks.
Yeah, so that's another 3, not including the pre show, which would be 6. So it is a lot of time and dedication.
Yes, we've gone through that before, that WWE has far too much content and too many hours to fill, and that's their. But then they've got this network, and unfortunately the archive footage doesn't do as well, like ratings wise, as first run footage, which is a shame. So they've had to go out and expand their rosters and take people from other places to fill gaps on their ever expanding roster, which again, as you could say, is killing the industry. It's killing them slowly but surely, but then they'll find out that they've made a mistake at some point, and maybe they'll go back and not put as much content in. I would not want to be a WWE fan at the moment because there is far too much content, so that's why I just enjoy watching the pay-per-views.
But, see, that's the secret. Do you know what I've realised? Do you know when I took my break and then I've signed back up for the WWE Network now? For free until April, by the way.
You sell out.
Result. But anyway, what I discovered was they don't put it on expecting you to watch it all. They put it on because they've got so much a variation in a fan base with so many different needs. They're trying to cover it all. That's why they're doing it. Do you know what I mean, man? They're not saying, I'm going to put 15 hours of content on and you need to watch it all. They're more doing it because so many fans want different things. Do you know what I mean? Fans are they're so fucking fickle now. It annoys me. Like, just all fucking, all want the same thing. Just does my head in.
Well, I prefer in-ring product, so obviously I'm going to choose NXT over anything at the NXT specials. I'm probably going to watch their shows, not every week, but every now and again. If I want Cruiserweight Wrestling, I've got that over there. And if I want to watch the entertainment shows, you've got the Raws and the SmackDowns. Mm.
It's a brand that's trying to create for everybody. They've just did that. That's just the way they've went down, and it's just the road that they've went down, that they see they have to have over 1 million subscribers, so they want to keep the amount over 1 million. What is it they've got now, 1.7 or something, or 6 or whatever they've got. They want to keep that to make money. They're making money, so that's just the way it is. So I've accepted that now and go, I'm not going to try and watch everything. I'm going to choose. If I hear Raw's good, I'll watch that. If I hear SmackDown's good, I'll watch that. Oh, there's a fucking shit-hot match in NXT. Oh, I'll watch that. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to go, I need to watch all this every week and try to keep up and tweet so everybody loves me. No, fuck that. I'll just watch
it. Yeah, but a lot of fans do that. We've seen it.
Yeah, but a lot of these fans are people that either they're like single with no kids and no job, some of them are like that, or they're kids and have no other... Or they've got jobs, but it's not a big responsibility. They've got the time. They'll come home at night and they want to watch 2 hours of wrestling every night, and they can manage it. So I mean, it's fair play to them. They do it,
and they like to tweet about it. But
Just skip that. And I say skip. Just go straight to you. What did you think of Owens and Reigns? Did you think it was a good match?
Yeah, this not Bob. Touching on Nia Jackson, Sasha Banks and Charlotte Bailey, the tag title change, the club have got the titles. Yeah, not much happened for like 3 hours of this show. But anyway, we got to Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens for the Universal title. I can't say that I thought it was a great match, but I liked all the plunder, and I like the fact that Kevin Owens set up that chair spot and he kept teasing it throughout the entire match. And I thought Roman put in a pretty decent shift, and it wasn't the best match in the world, was it, Mick? But then obviously they couldn't go out and do what they wanted to.
I liked it for the kind of, I thought it was quite brutal. I quite liked it. At some points they were kind of right hard knocking shit at each other, do you know what I mean? So I like that style of it. It depends what you're looking for out of the match. I mean, it was no DQ, so I quite liked to some of it was out the ring for a while and they were kicking the shit out of each other. Like you said, that piling up the chairs, all right, he only fell back onto them after a Superman punch, but that's still a wee sore bump, do you know what I mean, man? But I thought it was better than what I thought, probably, and I thought both guys put a fucking shift in. Even Jericho was kind of funny up in the... He was up in a shark tank, James. Jericho. up above the ring.
I'll just roll with it at this point.
And he had brass knuckles and he threw him down to Owens at one point. Matt. But then we got Strowman in, who interfered in the match, basically causing Roman Reigns' defeat kind of thing. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I thought it was way better than what I thought it was going to be.
Well, yeah, I suppose you could sort of say, well, within the PG environment, they were quite hard hitting with one another, but making it a no DQ and then having Jericho in the shark tank sort of made no sense. It's like, yeah, you
so if you broke out of the cage, what would happen?
Yeah, there's not going to be any.
Yeah, there's no consequence. It's dead on. It's dead on.
No, so they sort of killed a gimmick again. Well done, WWE creative. And, where did we go after that? We had Adrian Neville finally ascended to becoming the king of the cruiserweight. What really pissed me off was like the chin lock sequence in this match. Why the fuck are cruiserweights still doing it? It's not what I want to see from my cruiserweights. It pisses me off. Something rotten.
They'll put it this way, those two have had way better matches than that before of each other. Do you know what I mean? Elsewhere. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But
I'm thinking like they're dragging that USA match, which was just incredible, and they could have gone out and had that one here, but WWE chose to put the 5-minute chinlock spot in it.
You're not gonna. It doesn't want them to outshine anyone else. I mean, man, especially the match that was after it. But it was solid, yes. Solid enough. And what it did was, it said to me, "Oh my God, Neville, where in the fuck have you been? Where in the fuck has your character been all this time in WWE?" Because I just think he's got a fucking. He looks great. He sounds great, and fucking, he's just a great heel now. And I was like, it took ages for him to discover what to do with him, but finally he's kind of doing things, he's making noises, so I'm pleased about that, do you know what I mean? Because he's a fucking brilliant wrestler, do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I could have never seen, like, envisioned Pac or what Neville, whatever you want to call him, like, being a heel and a really good heel, because he always was, like, sort of a bland, high spot baby face, and I never really had a problem with it, but I really like enjoyed how he's like evolved into this character and how well he's portraying it, and I think it's so kudos to him for as well being able to live a quite a good promo as well.
Yep, it's I got that. He basically just put a mean face on and grew a beard, and it's my biggest transition ever. What the fuck's happened here?
I do brag on WWE Creative for a lot of things, but you know they've done really well with that there. So well done, WWE Creative. You deserve a pat on the back for that. And then finally, Mick, you want to unleash your joy of how much you love this match?
I just think AJ Styles has been on record recently saying that he thinks that John Cena brings the absolute best out in than anybody else has done in his whole career, and that tells a story. It's just absolute chemistry that the two have got in the ring, and the promos leading up to it. Like, you didn't watch SmackDown leading up to it. I watched the story of them. It was like semi-shoot promos on each other leading right up to it, so it was like a great story. And then their work together is just absolutely fucking fantastic. And I thought the end of the match, maybe one or two kick outs too much, I don't know, a few big moves, but the Cena's double finisher I thought was fucking brilliant, and then just them getting the pin, fair enough, it was superb. I loved it.
Well, Mick, I can't top that, because I'm not even going to attempt. It was like it was just a really good match, and these two can work
forever together, please.
Together, aren't they?
Oh, they've just got so much chemistry. They just fit. It's just like natural. They're just perfect together. Do you know what I mean, man?
James, if there was any match I'd say go and check out from the Rumble, I'd say go and check this out. It's a genuine 5-star match, good as the SummerSlam match.
I've heard only great things about that match. I've heard people rate it above Okada Omega because they kept it in the ring.
At the end of the day, I don't think you should be judging it on that.
Do you know what I felt like tweeting out? Why the fuck do we need to compare anything to anything?
Exactly.
It's 2017. We're only fucking a month into it, and we've had fucking two world class matches. Let's celebrate it, not compare it.
Because their fans are so insecure, they have to have the best stuff.
But I saw like.
But even nationally, even
I saw non-WWE.
Billy Ray fucking.
Non-WWE fans. Doing the same thing, bashing it and all that, man. It's gonna work both ways. And I was like, what's the point in it? Just celebrate it.
I don't know. I didn't get involved in the whole thing. I've heard it's a tremendous match. So it's good on them. It shows how good Styles is and how good Cena is.
Aye, definitely.
Wrestling that we've got this month, you know.
Yeah.
We're first month into 2017, and we've had some fucking incredible matches already this year.
Big team. Super.
Let's not go on Twitter and say, oh, this one was better than that one. Let's not fucking compare.
Don't compare. Who cares? I mean, just love it all. And if you don't like or watch the other one, who cares? Just tweet about your one.
I think even Omega got into it with a few WWE fans because they're so thick. Even said it. It's typical for WWE fans. Because they are. They're the worst fan. I'm sorry, mate. They're the worst fan base in wrestling. I've said it so many times. They really are.
Some of them can't.
They're spoiled. They're spiteful. They're poisoned. It's just like the wrestling world would be better if these people weren't around.
Some of them are our listeners. Apologise right now.
No, I'm the wild card. I don't care. I'll take the heat.
Nah, I'm only kidding. Our listeners are all great, cool, lovely fans, aren't they?
Yeah, so before we lose any more listeners, thanks to Greg Belmont, I think we should take a small break on over that. So we will be back. Hello, Marks and Smarks. We are back. If you're still listening, we apologise for James shooting on you all.
Yeah, we had a wee break there. Had a wee break there, and we shouted at him and told him, you can't say that about WWE fans. They're all lovely.
I'll say it anyway.
We gave him a talking to, everybody. Don't worry.
We did. We gave him a good Shibata sort of style chop to the...
penalty kick.
So we've got our new Japan expert here in Brother Belmont, and we're going to talk.
You're the expert. I'm the apprentice. We've established.
I know nothing about New Japan. What is this New Japan?
We've got the expert, the apprentice, and the hanger on. Me.
It's Billy. It's Billy's fault that I'm watching it now.
But it's good to see that you listen to me on at least one thing.
Yes. Well, no, we've been agreeing with each other a lot during the show, which doesn't usually happen, let's be honest.
No, it doesn't normally happen at all.
No.
So, this card has been shaping up and it looks really, really good. The New Beginnings show, which is tomorrow on New Japan World. Up first, the Kushida and a young boy, I cannot pronounce his name, do not ask me to pronounce his name.
Don't pronounce his name, Bill.
Spooky Gun Trio of El Desperado.
Gun Trio?
Yoshinobu, Captain Ruma, and Amaro. What do you guys think of this match? Do you think it's going to be an incredible five-star classic?
If it's against the young line, well, actually, no, all the young lines are decent. They don't let them out the dojo unless they're ready. So, yeah, I don't see why not, because she does brilliant talent, as we know. So that'd be a good way to open up the show, get the people warmed up.
Should be good. Well, I was just telling the guys that seen the break just there, and I was just telling the guys that I thought this show was on tomorrow morning, everybody. Nope, it's on the next day, so I had planned to get up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning to watch this.
Oh, but dude.
I was going to get up at... later and just start watching it later, but Kushida's one of my favourite guys, so I was like, oh, I need to get up for the first match, but obviously I need to get up earlier on Sunday now, but I'm looking forward to this because Kushida's my guy. He's my guy in New Japan. He's my fave, so I don't care who he's fighting. I'm excited about this.
Well, unfortunately you're going to be in for a treat. You're watching El Desperado, who just makes my palm slap the top of my head every time, but I'm looking forward to seeing Kanemaru in a New Japan ring for the first time. Guy is a proper legend out of pro wrestling. Noah hasn't had a decent match in 10 years, so obviously him and Kushida are locking up. I'm looking forward to it. Anyone else want to add anything?
No, I think they're all bases.
Has Kushida ever had a really big push in New Japan?
Yes, he's
been
ace
junior heavyweight champion loads of times, hasn't he?
Yeah, but no, any further than that, just like that's the limit kind of thing.
Well,
for
he might
weight class.
He puts on some muscle mass, but at the moment they're pushing him as the ace of the junior division. So, and him going over a legend like Kanemaru in a long-term feud would certainly establish him more of the ace in the junior division.
I'm just going to check this guy up called Kanemaru while you two talk.
Well, if you need to watch some of his matches against Kenta and Marufuji. I'm sure you know who Kenta is, either of you?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you sure? Do you want to give me a name on who that is?
Is it that injured?
Is it that
guy?
Atami bloke that keeps getting injured?
Is that that guy is injured all the time, is it him? Him that's just about to get let go, probably, because he's injuries.
Yes, more than likely, it is that guy that gets injured a lot. Hideo Utami. So after that, Yoshitatsu teams up with two young lions. Again, I'm not going to try and pronounce their names because...
Kanemaru was a young lion.
No, it's Kushida and Lion teaming up to face the Suzuki Gun team of El Desperado and Kanemaru.
Yeah, I was going to say. He's 40 years old, Bill.
How much of a legend Kanemaru is. You can really tell how much you listen to me.
Yeah, sorry.
It's Billy's great pronouncing it. It was so clear.
It's the great pronunciation of names. This is my favourite part.
Because I've got to be honest. I thought it was one. I've read the card, but I also thought it was one on one as well. After
a
you
New
said
Japan
that, Billy.
Correspondent.
Right. Okay. Well, I'd like to see you two try and rattle off.
No. You carry on, man.
My phone's away to get fixed. I can't Google it. Sorry.
Anyway, for fuck's sake, you two. You made me sell a rib, you bastards. Yoshizatsu and some fucking jobbers are going to take on Tenzan, Kojima, and Nagata. The old boys are probably just going to beat them all up, and then they're going to lose, because that's what normally happens.
Well, especially when Tenzan's involved, that's usually what happens, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, which is a shame, because Tenzan is a legend. So is Kojima and Nagata.
Is Yoshitatsu still wearing that stupid Bullet Club Hunter gear?
Yes, he's still doing that fucking shit gimmick.
It's not a thing, Yoshi. It's not going to take off. Nobody's buying the merch, mate. Billy Gunn even tried it. It didn't help. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself.
So is there anything else to add on that classic six-man tag?
No.
No.
Right. Oh God, I'm dying over here. So up next is going to be Chaos. It's going to be Gino and Gedo teaming up with Will Ospreay to take on Liger, Shibata, and Tiger Mask. I'm actually sort of looking forward to this. I think
this will be
quite
cool.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah.
This I think there's you know. This could be a show stealer, a secret match of the night kind of candidate for me.
Well, it's the old Tiger Mask. It's not Tiger Mask W, so it's old boy Tiger Mask. So, yeah, you know, you got Liger in there, you got Will Ospreay, you got Shibata. I'm sure those are going to have some good exchanges. Gedo and Jado, yeah, their best days are behind them, but they can still go when they want to. Should be a good six-man tag.
Yep. Yeah. I'm just waiting for the Ospreay Shibata title match for the RevPro title.
That is the next New Beginning show, which is the following week.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for. That's going to be great to watch.
See there.
That should be a lot of fun.
Even though Ospreay's part of Chaos, which is an enemy faction to me, but yeah.
I was going
to listen to you, Mark.
See the triple threat match that was on Ring of Honor. I'm hoping that gets on a fucking New Japan show at some point. It was Dragon Lee versus Ospreay versus Kushida. They absolutely killed it. You know what I mean, I want that match. You know what I mean?
Well, Dragon Lee is working this show, so who knows, probably down the road they've got big plans for Dragon Lee, so they could probably go that route.
That's the other thing, I'm kind of starting to get a wee bit fed up of Ospreay getting put in these six-man tags. Like, give him something different to do. A wee bit. I know he's in Chaos.
I know he's in Chaos
now, and he's just starting out, but I'm wanting it kind of now. I mean,
a little more time. He'll get there. He'll get his singles run soon.
Good.
Well, the thing is, James, his contract runs out next year, so if they're going to start pushing him, they better start pushing him.
Do it now, yeah. I reckon he'll sign a new one after
off.
This.
He might think, like, the grass is greener in WWE. You just never know.
So, if he goes there, half his moveset's going to leave as well, you know.
That's not a bad thing, because his moveset is going to put him in a wheelchair by the time he's 40. He needs to scale back a wee bit.
AJ Styles slowed down for a reason in 2004.
Ricochet done it 2 years ago as well.
AJ's been slowing down but doing 450s off the top rope. Come on, you can't have it both ways.
Aye, but he's not doing fucking moonsaults through fucking tables every week now. You know what I mean? He's calmed down. Or like fucking 450s through announce tables. He's not doing that, but he used to do that all the time. Do you know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure he did that long ago. Yeah, remember for match number four, yeah. A very improved Yoshihashi, if I'm correct.
Yes, he's going to go up against... oh, God, it's the Suzuki-gun guy, Izuka. I'm not looking forward to this. Shall we just move on? It's going to be shit.
Yeah, we'll just move on. Hashi, well, he's part of Chaos, but hopefully he wins this one.
And match number 5, Dragon Lee, Tanahashi, Nakanishi, Michael Elgin, and Taguchi take on L.I.J. I'm not going to try and pronounce their name.
Oh, the whole of L.I.J.
Yes, basically yeah. The squadron of L.I.J., which is Bushi, Evil, Takahashi, Sonada, and Naito, 10-man tag.
I think Gedo was horny when he fucking booked this one.
Oh, mate, he's got a hard one for these matches.
He's the Teddy Long of Japan, this bloke.
But then, you know, it always sort of saves your top guys from taking a pinfall in a big match and then blowing through their big matches. That's why they do a lot of these tags.
And these kind of matches have got nice, fun spots in them, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. They're not always the best in the world, but, you know, they're there, they exist, and I don't know.
They get you from A to B.
Yeah, like Bushi can take a pinfall from Nakanishi if they wanted to do that. It's not really the end of the world, is it?
No. It doesn't affect anything. Evil can take the pinfall, it wouldn't affect anything.
And Naito can get in there and do a few spots with Tana, and then it'll keep everyone happy.
I just want to see Elgin and Naito face off.
It's going to happen, James.
Because Naito's already put Elgin on the shelf once.
And he's going to do it again.
He's going to do it again. He goes straight for the eye socket.
Do you think Naito is going to have a huge year? I want him to have a right big year.
Well, he didn't have too bad of a year.
No,
last
but
year.
I'm saying put his title on him.
They put the title on him already,
he's got the IC.
But it wasn't over. They've done it too early. He's well more popular.
Hold on a minute.
Do you know what I mean?
The J-T shirts were selling the shitload. Thing was, Okada is more over than Naito.
Okada's the golden boy.
Let me just get my point out, right? Okay. Okada, when he was on top, the amount of houses that man drew was considerably more than Naito did when he was on top. That is why Okada is still the champ, because he's still a draw.
Go on, Bill.
But what I've been reading was that they felt as if they pushed Naito too early. That's what I've just read.
It was a tester to see how he would cope with
it. And the fans didn't like it as much. That's just what I've read.
It went over well because the t-shirt sales went through the roof. But when
because was there not was there not a, well why did the match
Mick, if you let me just finish my point, right? Sorry, when it came to the gate. When it came to gate receipts and selling tickets, Naito was not as successful as Okada, so that's why they quickly switched it back to Okada.
Yeah, because Okada's the golden boy.
Yeah, because they're basically going to build Naito up, which they're going to do. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. They are. And it's going to happen at some point.
Was it not?
Whoever is just completely off base and does not know New Japan at all.
Was it not? But their match wasn't. Did their match not close? It wasn't up last.
It was on last. Invasion, Attack, and Dominion.
Oh, but did they have a match at one of the Wrestle Kingdoms?
No. Oh God, yes they did. It was in 2014, and it did not draw then.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, but you were saying when they put the title on
him. You were saying when they put the title on him.
I didn't know he had had the title. I thought it was like back when you'd said that it was like back then. I didn't know.
Naito's becoming is he's becoming a New Japan Stone Cold. He's going to have a big year this year.
He's on a skyrocket just now. See, the last 6 months I've been really liking him. That's what I'm saying. But let's put the title on him and fucking try and make him the number one guy.
Not yet.
Basically tried to make him a top babyface, basically back at Wrestle Kingdom in 2014, but it did not work.
Didn't work.
But he's more popular now with the fans being his.
Oh, way more popular now.
And heel, he became incredibly popular. And when he embraced the L.I.J., that was when he really got over. And last year they thought they put the title on him for a little while, down to the basis of, well, we can't have Okada. They didn't want Okada to be the champion. They wanted to test the waters to see if Naito would draw. He didn't draw as well as they thought he would, so they put the title back onto Okada. Now he's primed for that position, but he's the IC champion at the minute, so he's going to like eventually step up and become the world champion at Wrestle Kingdom, and at some point, you just don't know when.
Can't they take the risk of like Okada still drawing in the second top match kind of thing, and him at a top match? How does it work? That work over there? Do you know what I mean? Has it got to be the person that's drawing the most has to have the title? Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's the way Okada, like Gino looks.
I thought that's how wrestling works.
You can come and go a wee bit. Macho Man Randy Savage was champion for a while when Hogan was drawing more than anybody. That's what I'm saying back in the day in WWE. But obviously, it's a different ballgame. But that's what I'm asking. Is it not possible they could do that?
I reckon.
But they tried it already and it hasn't really worked. Okada, do you want to, you know, lost Nakamura, do you want to, you know, savage your own business by taking Okada off of the top?
He's
probably not. He's going to be the golden boy for as long as Gedo wants him to be, and he deserves to be the golden boy because
much of a
great in-ring performer he is.
Mm-hmm. But saying that, Naito is getting he's getting a lot of steam now, so he will be world champion this year for sure.
I can see him having a caretaker's run again, but I can't. At some point, they will build him up to have a big match with Okada at Wrestle Kingdom, and
I'd give him a prolonged run just to see how it goes.
I would love to see it, but I can't see them doing it at the
minute.
Can't
see it at the moment. I get that. Because they could have made a Omega world champion at Wrestle Kingdom. I thought that was the way they were going. That'd been the right move, but obviously something made them say nah. We'll keep it on Okada, which shocked me. He pissed me off a bit as well at the time.
Most probably, because he hadn't signed yet.
Well, he had signed. It was just sort of keeping it.
Worked. He was just winding people up, which he's a master at.
Master of manipulation.
Posting a picture of himself by a Royal Rumble pinball machine.
I remember that.
Just genius. Absolute genius.
Trolling marks.
Proper trolling everybody.
There's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, I didn't think that 10-man tag would incite such a...
Sorry. That was my fault.
Not your fault, mate.
It's because I don't I'm kind of trying to find out. I mean, that's why I was picking...
You will learn the ways of New Japan. You just got to start watching it a bit, mate.
Okay.
This is all... Good, Mick. I I didn't mean to be a dick or like jump down your throat about it.
You're fine.
I just tried to educate people on it.
But trying to educate the masses.
That's why I ask, because I like it when you tell me things like that. And I'm like, all right. Do you know what I mean?
But I do like it how I've come up to somewhere near Billy's level now. We can actually have full blown conversations about this.
James, you will just start adding on my level. You're like,
well, actually, I probably never will be, because you've been watching New Japan a lot longer than I have. I've only been watching it probably. I only just got the New Japan World like a little while ago, but I've been watching it on and off for about 2 years. Well, up until this point.
I watched like maybe 2 shows a year or something like that up until last year. Last year, I watched like all the big shows, and I'm planning on doing that again. And I'm seriously contemplating dropping ICW and signing up to New Japan World.
Well, you heard it here first.
What is it?
Mick, whatever you want to watch makes you happy, mate. Whatever you want to watch.
Yeah, whatever you want to watch.
Aye.
As soon as WWE goes near ICW, that's it. Game's over.
Right, okay. Let's move on before
this turns
into you two complaining about WWE and ICW.
I have moved on. We're talking about Japan now.
Right, next one.
Roppongi Vice against... Okay, Roppongi Vice are going to defend the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles against the Suzuki Gun team of Tai Chi and Takamichi Noclu. I fucking hate Tai Chi.
Takamichi Noclu still going?
Yeah.
Yes, Taka Michinoku is still going.
Seen his late 40s or something like
Jesus
that.
Christ.
Wait, age has he? 40 odd.
Oh, I forgot, people don't age in Japan now.
Yeah, he's in his 40s and he's still going. He's 10 times better than Tai Chi. I fucking hate Tai Chi, and I hope that Roppongi Vice easily retain here, and I think they can easily retain.
There's no point whatsoever in having them drop it, really, is there?
Do you think it's going to happen again where Barreto gets taken out, Romero's got to kind of carry the team to retain, or...
Well, they did switch out the formula. They switched that story, didn't they? Could switch that story that they did last year when Romero was letting down Barreto. So
Barreto could possibly
do that. As long as Tai Chi doesn't get any gold and he gets fired immediately after this match, then,
They won't win. Don't worry, they're not going to win. If they do, I'll laugh just because of your reaction and rage. But no, I can't see it.
I won't go on Twitter and go, oh, I fucking hate wrestling, I'm never going to watch it again.
I'm going to cancel my Japan World, man. Cancel your Japan World hashtag.
Tai Chi has a title, this is just not on.
Not having it.
I might cancel my new Japan World subscription if Juice Robinson beats Goto. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm looking forward to this match. I reckon it's going to be quite decent, to be perfectly honest. Goto's first defence of the NEVER title.
I can't see him. Robinson will do a good job.
Haven't seen Goto, though, before, have you? He's like a tougher Dolph Ziggler. Is that kind of comparison? It is really, isn't it? When you think about his run and the amount of times he got so close, yet he loses at the final hurdle. Yep. Basically a tougher Dolph Ziggler.
I can't see
Goto losing to Robinson, because Robinson's only just really got into the game. So I can't see him winning the title here. It'd be a good match, though, because Robinson's very underrated. I don't think people actually realise how good he is.
I think he'll put in a good performance here, and I think Goto will clearly go over. I cannot ever see him winning the belt. Like you say, Goto is the the Dolph Ziggler of New Japan. It's unfortunate for him. I'm actually looking forward to see what these two can do together.
Yeah, it's a possible show stealer if they really go for it.
I think you're dead on there, James. So we've got two more matches to go. This is going to happen twice. Three-way for the tag titles. It's Chaos taking on GHB. And, of course, the Killer Elite Squad. This match is happening twice, so I could, like... It's going to be a rematch the following week. I could probably see a title change here.
Yeah. Why else would they do that? I mean,
as long as Yano gets put down like the dog he is, I don't care who wins.
He's not going to come out with all that gold.
I want Honma to come off the top rope and nut him as hard as he can and pin him.
Why do you not like Toriyama?
He's irritating the hell out of just his face. I just want to wrap a chair around his head.
James, is the bus in grey, though?
No, nothing's that bad.
Yeah, but
no, Yano can actually wrestle.
Worse than Colt Cabana.
No, look, whoever said Colt Cabana is bad at wrestling?
Me?
Just don't have a clue. These people who think they know about wrestling who come from Scotland who only watch one promotion ever and don't watch any other wrestling... and think a fat bloke dancing to Madonna is a great star, you know, it just boggles the mind.
Oh, it's amazing. That gives me goosebumps, man. Anyway, back to Yano. Is he going to commit with all that gold that he stole again?
Of course he is. That's his thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Killer Elite Squad won this one and then dropped him to GHB
afterwards. I'm with you.
Ishiji swaps along going, what in the hell am I getting fucking bit into heel now? Do you know what I mean? I'm just going to get a headbutt everyone, fuck it.
I'd love Ishiji just turn around, knock Yano out and leave.
Without even saying anything or looking or anything.
Yeah, just like knock him out and just walk off and let him get pinned or something. So like, I can't do this no more.
Doesn't even turn round.
No.
Oh dear, poor old Ishii's been lumbered with Yano, but I love Yano.
I know. Well, someone's got to statistically.
You either love him or you hate him. He's like the Marmite of professional wrestling.
I think it's an insult to Marmite, to be honest, Bill.
So finally, we move on to the main event, and it's for the IWGP Heavyweight title.
Oh, here we go, James.
Billy's boy, Okada.
The mark's going to come out here.
Oh, actually, no, Billy. Who's your boy in this?
Sorry?
Who's your boy in this? Because you marked out for Suzuki, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. I mark out Suzuki every time I see him because he's fucking amazing.
So who are you backing on this one? I thought Okada was your boy.
Well, Okada is my boy, but I want Suzuki to win.
Suzuki's his man.
Suzuki's my boy. Like,
Okada's your boy and Suzuki's your man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have no problems with admitting this. I am incredibly in man love with Minoru Suzuki.
He's got a proper man crush on Minoru Suzuki.
If Minoru Suzuki doesn't win this, I will cancel my New Japan one.
Hashtag.
Well, prepare to rage because it could happen.
It's the possibility that Okada is going to win this, and there's going to be lots of screaming coming from Hertfordshire from me.
Okada better not lose to this invader.
All depends, but how hard are they going to push Suzuki Gun? Imagine, look, they won every match all the way through this. It could happen.
It could possibly happen, Mick. If Suzuki wins this, I will cry and scream as well. Even if he loses, I'd cry and scream. But if he wins, I'm going to do exactly the same thing. I just want to see Suzuki win it, for obvious reasons, because I'm such a massive mark for the guy. And he's been All Japan Triple Crown champion, the GHC former GHC heavyweight champion, and I'd love to see him, you know, join the illustrious list with Kenzuki Siaki as well. So...
Didn't his group nearly destroy Noah, though?
Sorry?
Didn't his group nearly destroy Noah?
Well...
Because I heard some rumblings about that. Apparently his group nearly ran it to the ground.
That's what I was going to ask. What do you think? What do you think of this group? Are you a fan? Do you know what I mean? Because I've not really seen
Sodom
yet.
I don't... When I saw him debut, I laughed. The only credible one's Suzuki.
You've got a point there, James. I like the Killer Elite Squad as well. But anyway, to get back to what you were saying about what happened in Noah. When Suzuki Gun first showed up in Noah, the angle did really, really well. It elected like a lot of good response towards Noah. It's like they drew a good 6,000 for the first show with Suzuki Gun on top. But it went on for 2 years. You can't do that angle for 2 years with invaders coming in. It just...
Overkill.
If you can do it for a year, don't get me wrong, for the year I was willing to stick with Noah and see where it went, but then when it just carried on and on and on, it never ended. It was just like, oh god, I don't want to see this angle anymore. And business really did suffer for Pro Wrestling Noah because of it. In New Japan, I don't think they're going to make that mistake of having it run for 2 years. I think what's going to probably happen is Okada wins, the Bullet Club will return, and we'll start up Okada versus the Bullet Club for the 16,000th time.
No, I reckon it'll be more like a gang war now, because you have Chaos against the Bullet Club, against Suzuki Gun. It'd just be chaos all over the place. It'd be fighting all over the place. Which would be cool.
Factions everywhere, man.
It's going to be like a turf war. LIJ's around, they could get involved.
The Bullet Club's been... they're coming back, aren't they? Like, are we going to have a young... It's been announced, hasn't it?
It's been announced that they will be back, and I would not be surprised if they attacked Okada on the next beginning show.
Well, I reckon they'll attack them both.
See the follow-up. The following week is the main event card been set for that. What's on that?
Off the top of my head, I could not remember what the main event for that show is. But I know Shibata and Ospreay in that show.
If you bear with me, I'll have a look.
Right, let's quickly hit Wikipedia.
No, I'm on it now. It's that can't be right. Oh, it is. It's just a bunch of bloody... Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, the first match is see, now I'm going to be doing a Billy here. Hanare. Tomoyuki Oka. That's the first match. Second match is Nagata Kojima versus Yoshitatsu in Kuwaito. Third match is a six-man tag. Tiger Mask, Liger, Tenzan against... It's basically the same fucking match. The fourth match, Unlimited Special Elimination Match number one. Kushida, Juice Robinson, Shibata, Honma, Mikabe versus Goto, Hashi, Osprey, Gato, and Jado. Fifth match. It's just a bunch of 10-man tags. They've done it again. Yeah,
you've got
it's just a bunch of tag matches.
Which is match six.
Gato was horny as fuck again, man.
Yeah, Beretta.
The main event for the next.
Yeah, let's just skip it.
It's going to be Naito and Elgin. And you got Takahashi and Dragon Lee.
The main event's a 10-man tag.
Sorry?
The main event's a 10-man tag, from what I can tell.
No, it's written down here. It's Naito and Elgin for the IC title. You got Takahashi and Dragon Lee for the junior title. And Shibata, Will Ospreay. They're the three big matches. And then you've got loads of repeat matches. 6 and 10 8-man tags. And
this one's on Tuesday, February 7th. Oh, okay, maybe it's a later event.
You sure you're reading the right one?
I'm on the New Japan website now, so
you just read this Sunday's it again now?
No, it's this Tuesday, February the 7th.
I know, I'm kidding on.
That's the wrong date, James.
Is it the wrong one?
It's February the 11th.
I do apologise. I misread the event. I read the one that's after the one this coming event. It's the one after that. That was the road to New. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. James. You fucked up. You showed how much of it.
I fucked up. I admit it. You know, I'm not like WWE where they try and cover it up and then fire somebody.
Right, so I'm going to spring something on you now, lads. This is going to—I want this to become a new segment on Offshoot Radio, but it's going to be called Billy's Match of the Month. So, go. Who wants to go first? It's thinking time, chaps. Put your hats on. Of a great match?
What, a month that's just gone?
Yes.
Have we not just we're all got in the same match? Have we not?
Possibly not.
I haven't really seen anything like that.
James, think about it. You're just talking last time you were on about like the best show, best match I ever saw in your full life.
Yes, James. Yeah, no, but I can't say that again. I'm trying to think of something new and fresh to keep, you know.
It's all right. You can go with that match.
I've got the option, I'll go with it again.
How about we do the segment this time, not counting that match then, right? Because that's been.
That's what I'm trying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was the best match ever, so it's not going to get topped anyway.
I can think of 10 off the top of my head that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, but you watch wrestling all the time, Billy.
I'm split. I'm between. Apart from the Wrestle Kingdom main event, I'm split between Cena and Styles and. Shibata and Riddle.
Skrull and Sabre Jr. There we go.
A good shout. Well done, James.
There you go.
I knew you'd get there in the end.
I got there in the end, Billy. It's because you put me on the spot, you see. You messed me up.
That match was on for about fucking 50 minutes, was it? No, but James.
Yeah.
40 minutes.
Yeah, it should have been a main event, to be honest.
It was on far too long, but I still enjoyed it. Really good shout, mate.
So I'm going with Gato and Shibata, and now we've got to go with this is Wrestler of the Month for January.
Oh. Did you just say Omega and be done with it?
I'm saying Omega, yes.
I'm going to annoy James.
If you say Grado, I swear I'm going to block you.
Winning the belt for his 16th day.
I'm not mad at that. It's a fair play.
Also, I've got Omega, Cena, and Styles. Three MVPs of the month, man.
Omega's just MVP for the year already, but I'm not sure. I'll just say Scar again because he's making so many waves. Mm-hmm. Like elsewhere, not just here. I mean, just
the
US.
Matt Riddle. He's had a really good month.
Marty Scurll's been phenomenal so far. Riddle's cool. I like Riddle, but Scurll's is. I'll rate him higher.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got Riddle's. Marty Scurll's in my top five, definitely, right now. Easy. Hence why I bought his t-shirt.
Cool guy, too, yeah. I bought the Villain Is My Hero shirt off him at the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yours, so I think we've come to the end of our show, have we?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I think we made it there. Somehow we made it. It's been an emotional ride, but we have actually made it to the end of the show. Without killing each other, and we're still friends. I think that's a good result.
There you go, James. You managed to get through a show that was 50% WWE.
that was a rubbish 50%. Didn't mind.
And you didn't
nothing.
Die or drown or like... Have a panic.
No, I was falling asleep. You know, about, oh, NXT, so amazing. And then you say, basically say the fucking show is average anyway.
Yeah.
Rumble's a waste of time apart from Styles and Cena.
No.
I just
cut the other ones out because time-wise, I was looking at the time.
Just talk Japan. Japan's so much better to talk about because people don't take it so seriously. Hard-hitting, good action.
No one cares about who goes over.
All
wrestling. Me and Billy aren't grumpy, gripey people that say,
You two are gripey as
fuck. We'll talk about all wrestling.
You two are the gripiest old men. Ever to Grace podcasting.
We do that.
Do you know that?
Do
you
that
two are the absolute worst.
You do it.
I've become a wild card and you two are just grumpy old men in your rocking chairs shaking your fist at people when they're walking past in a Bullet Club shirt. So that's what you've become.
And you'll still be on your Mega Drive, so it's all good.
Nothing wrong with Mega Drive.
Oh dear. So, plug away, Mick. Plug away.
I'm running a at Offshoot Radio account, and I'm not really using my personal one, but it's there at Tag Mick In, and also you can get us on Podomatic, and you can find us on iTunes.
Causing too much, she's just too busy causing mayhem on that Offshoot Radio account. It is great to watch sometimes.
It's fun. Hey, it's joining.
Yeah, I can tell.
Hey, it's
so joining
followers,
it.
And that's us. We've got 200 extra followers since I've started running that. There you go.
That was good work.
Thank you.
James, about yourself, sir?
Well, I don't know. A bunch of WWE fans are probably going to start screaming at me now. But I'm at JX2001 on Twitter.
Get up!
I'm on Twitch under the same username. Yeah, that's it. That's all I've got to plug. Billy, you plug the Facebook and all that. That's your baby.
Right, yeah, I've got to plug the... Unloved Facebook. You can follow me on at Billy_J83. Did I get it right, lads?
I think you did at last, yes.
And I've got to plug our partners as well, our partners in crime, Britrest Review. Go and check it out, www.britrest.weebly.com. Awesome website for all the latest reviews on British wrestling. And
did Darren not have a thing, a GoFundMe thing?
Nick, would you let Billy finish one sentence, please?
Sorry, it just came into my head. Sorry.
I just want to say, yeah, I write for Brit Rest Review. I do the Rev Pro and Fight Club Pro reviews. Mick, you can now interrupt me.
Sorry, mate. I was just strung into my head and I panicked, going like, oh my God, were we not meant to say about Darren having a GoFundMe page for a wee boy or something like that, and it was on one of his accounts?
Oh, yeah. It's to help a young lad basically get wheelchair access to Chaos shows. Go to... at Axel Mulligan, and it's on his pinned tweets, if I rightly remember.
Yep.
Yeah, find all the details there, so that'd be cool. Good cause.
Yep.
Also, before we go, I've got to shout out the Altered Angle and Sunday Segway. Check out them shows, they're fantastic.
Yes.
So, until next time, Marks and Smarks, thank you very much, and good night.